appreciate your presence this morning. We do have a number of visitors. We're glad to have you with us, and appreciate your coming. I want to encourage you to come back if you possibly can on any occasion. Before we get into the lesson, I want to tell you something just briefly, and I'm going to tell you from memory, and some of it I know the facts, and some of them I'm not 100% sure, especially on some dates, so it may or may not be 100% accurate, but it's going to be real, real close, and I'll generalize when I'm not sure. But approximately 90 years ago, there was a young couple who heard the call that we've been singing about and wanted to go and preach the gospel. That young couple had a very small son, and they determined, they were in their early 20s, determined that they would go to Africa to preach the gospel. They took their infant son and headed to what is now known as Zimbabwe, was Rhodesia, and another name before that. And settled there to preach the gospel. They had other children while they were there. That infant son grew and eventually came back to this country to go to college. Went to Abilene Christian College at that time, Abilene Christian University now. And while that son was there, he met a man from Limestone County, a guy named Ben Lee Fudge. He brought his sister with him, who ended up marrying Ben Lee Fudge, as my mother. Foy Short moved to Limestone County after he graduated from school. Moved here with my daddy, Ben Lee Fudge, and with the intention of being here for a while, and he and daddy were going to both go to Africa to preach. Somewhere in around 1950, Uncle Foy went back to Africa to preach the gospel. Church here at Ephesus began to support him when he went. Through the years, Uncle Foy was able, with the help of his wife, Aunt Margaret, and his family, to preach the gospel in Rhodesia, later to be known as Zimbabwe, until he reached the point in life where he felt that because of his failing health, he did not need to stay there. And so about 10 years ago, give or take a little, he moved back to this country and lived in White House, Tennessee, just out of Nashville, near where his daughter lived. Uncle Foy was not willing to just abandon the work there, but continued to work by writing commentaries in the Sindibele language so that the African preachers that had been left over there could have reference works, and he even wrote a complete concordance to the Bible in the Sindibele language, which has now been published for those preachers over there. I tell you all of that to tell you two things. Number one, we are very pleased that Uncle Foy and his wife, Aunt Margaret, and their daughter, Ellen, are with us this morning and able to be here. But I tell you also because we need to be aware of work that we're doing. And all through these years, even till today, we continue to support Uncle Foy and help provide his livelihood, and we have done that since the day he left here to go there. I'm not sure if we're the only church that has supported him all of that time, but if we're not, we're one of the few. And we have a part in sharing the gospel with people that we've never known, people that we've never seen, and on this earth we never will see. And yet, because of the work that we have done here by helping support him and other people like that in other places, we have been able to throw out the lifeline. We have been able to share the gospel with people of many races, in many places, in many parts of the world. And I commend you as a church, our elders, as leaders, for the work that has been done, and urge each of us to continue to be interested in sharing the gospel, not only in Africa, but sharing the gospel with people here in Limestone County. It is a pleasure to be able to work with you, and I just pray that as we study together this morning, that our study can be one that will help each of us to better serve God. I'd like for us to think this morning about Jesus, the rock. In Matthew chapter 7, in verses 24 through 27, we read there, Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house and fell. And great was its fall." You see, Jesus is our rock, and we need to understand that. We need to grasp the idea that Jesus is our rock. This means that He is our only authority. We need to understand then that His Word is authority. If Jesus is the authority, then the words that He speaks are authority for us. And we must rest ourselves solely and completely on that. In verses 28 and 29, we see then that after Jesus said these things, it says the result was that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at His teaching, for He was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. Jesus was saying things and He was speaking with authority, and they could see that and they could tell that. Jesus has all authority. In Matthew 28, verse 18, before He ascended back to the Father, He said to His disciples, He said, "All authority is given to Me, both in heaven and on earth." And so Jesus has all authority. We need to understand that. He is the only authority. And to accept His authority demonstrates our faith in Him. We cannot say that we believe in Jesus and reject His authority. We cannot say that we believe in Jesus and refuse to do what He tells us. So to accept the authority of Jesus means that it is a demonstration of our faith in Him. In Matthew 16, there in verses 15 through 19, Jesus said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And also I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church." The rock that Jesus is talking about here is not Peter. It is the confession of Jesus as the Christ. He's saying, upon this fact, upon this confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, I will build My church. And the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. Then He tells Peter, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." And so we see that Jesus says, it is upon this solid foundation of rock, this confession of faith in Jesus, that the church is to be built. Jesus is our rock. And so when we come to Jesus, it is the same thing as saying that we come to His Word, that we listen to what He says. In John chapter 8, Jesus was in a discussion there with the Pharisees. And in verses 31 and 32, Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My Word, then you are truly disciples of Mine. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus said, you've got to listen to My words because My words are truth, and the things that I tell you, these are truth. And so we must be willing to accept the words of Jesus. In John 14, 16, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Me." And so Jesus is the only way because He is the truth. And He gives life. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verses 1 through 6, Peter writes, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it, that is this pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to Him as a living stone, here's Jesus, that rock. You see, we hunger and we thirst after that Word, and it is Jesus that is our rock. Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in Him shall not be disappointed." Peter says, it is on this solid rock of Jesus that everything spiritual is built. He said, I lay in this cornerstone. And the cornerstone is Jesus. And so to come to Jesus is to come to His Word. But we can trust in the security of the rock. In Isaiah 26 and verse 4, we read, "Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock." The idea of a rock is something that is solid. Something that is going to be there. And God is an everlasting rock. It is in Jesus that we can see this rock and that our faith must be placed. In Psalm 61, and many times in the Psalms, in fact, many times in the Old Testament, we find the Lord referred to as a rock. But in Psalm 61, in verses 1 through 4, there the psalmist says, "Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will call Thee when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in Thy tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of Thy wings, Selah." And so as we look at this, we see that Jesus is our shelter from the storm. You see, a rock played many, many different things for people. For many people, they would be out in the open and there was this rock, and if a big storm was coming, they could go and they could get in the shelter of that rock and they would be safe from the storm. Jesus is our shelter from the storms in life. We're all going to have these storms. We're going to face these storms, and yet it is in Jesus that we can find shelter and we can find safety. Jesus is our refuge from danger. And whether it be danger from storms of life, whether it be danger from the enemies that would approach us, Jesus is our rock and we find refuge in Jesus. Today, military combat is conducted many times in sort of offhand way with missiles and rockets and all of these kinds of things. But in the days that the Scripture was written, military battles were done hand to hand. And if you had hand to hand combat and one side had access to a big rock, then they had the distinct advantage because they could hide behind the rock. They could use that rock as refuge from the enemy. They could find rest behind the rock. It was protection for them. And so Jesus is our refuge from danger. And He is our strength against enemy. Because it is behind this rock, it is through the rock of Jesus that we can find this stronghold that cannot be penetrated. And so Jesus is our rock. And we can trust in the security of that rock. To hear Him to not hear Him or to hear Him and not obey Him, whichever the case may be. It's like building our house on the sand. Jesus said, you can do this, but if you do, you need to understand the consequences. All of us know that when you build a structure, whatever it is, whether it be a house or something else, if we build a structure, the first thing we do is we lay the foundation. We go in there and we dig the footing and we pour concrete and we make sure. I was talking with a guy recently and he was talking about building a house. And he said, I started to dig the footing, and when I started to dig, I hit solid rock. He said, I began talking to people, and they said, man, that's the best thing you can have. You gotta worry about that rock going anywhere. It's not just some rocks. It wasn't just a few small rocks. It was solid rock. You see, we build a foundation on something that is solid. We wouldn't think about building a foundation and pouring the footing and just pouring sand in it and then start building on top of the sand. We wouldn't do that. And the reason we don't do that, or you don't just go down to the beach and build a house on the beach without digging a deep footing and a lot of foundation. And the reason for that is because the sand shifts and it moves and it's not solid, it's not stable, it's not going to stay put. And so we must have something that is solid. And if we're going to build our lives, we need to build our lives on the solid rock of Jesus and upon the Word of Jesus, rather than building it upon the shifting sands of things that are around us today. Jesus said in our text, He said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. It's not going to stand if there is no foundation. And so it is in our lives. If our lives are not built upon Jesus Christ, then there is no foundation and our lives cannot stand. But why do some hear and then never obey? Why do some people just refuse to hear? Well, there are a number of reasons. One reason is that many times they listen to the word of man instead of listening to the word of Christ. You know, there are all kinds of ideas, all kinds of philosophies. And the fact is, there are a lot of people who are going to say things that sound good. You know, we've all heard the saying that fiction is stranger than the truth. Or the truth is stranger than fiction. I'm sorry, I got it back. A lot of times people say, well, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction. Well, it is. And the reason is because fiction is designed from the mind of man to fit the mind of man. But Jesus is the truth. And when we study the truth, it's not going to fit what our thinking says. It's not going to fit the way we might want it to be. But rather, what we're going to see is the mind of God in truth. And so many times today, people will not listen to God because it doesn't fit their thinking. And so they listen to what man says, and they listen to some philosopher, and they listen to somebody else who says things that sound good to them. There are some who speak false words, but their motives are good. They just simply misunderstand. There are a lot of people in religion today who are just as sincere as they can be. I don't question their sincerity a bit. But the fact is that what they teach is not in harmony with what the Scriptures say. But they still teach things that are not right. We must never forget that God's Word is the standard, not our understanding of it. Sometimes today people begin to think that their standard is the way somebody interprets the Scripture or how they feel about the Scripture or what they think the Scripture says. And that's not the true standard. You know, I learned the importance of a true standard back a few years ago when I was building some houses. And I was doing a little bit of construction work on one of the houses, and as I was working there, I decided I needed about 8 boards that were exactly the same. They need to be cut identical. And so I cut one. Measured it, marked it, cut it. It was exactly right. That was my standard. So I took that one and I used it to mark another one and I cut it. And I used the second one I cut and I marked the third one and I cut it. And by the time I got to the sixth one, it didn't match the first one. Because each one was slightly different than the one before. My intentions were good. I was just misinformed in my thinking. And what happened is my standard shifted. And the point is that today when I understand the Scripture and I tell you what I believe the Bible says, I am telling you with complete confidence that what I'm saying is the truth. And if you accept what I believe and then you tell somebody else what I believed as the standard, then it's going to be slightly different than what I actually said. And if that person does the same thing, it's going to be different again. And the standard has become man and man's interpretation and man's thinking. And regardless of how good the motives are, regardless of how good intentioned we are, it is not the standard that we should go by. The only standard that will not change is the Word of God. And so regardless of what I tell you, and regardless of what I understand, and regardless of what I believe, that is not the standard. The standard is simply God's Word. And so each of us must go back each time to God's Word and say, what does the Bible teach? What does God say about this? What does Christ authorize here? And that is the only standard that can be accepted. Sometimes people listen to man. And there are some who just speak false words and they got evil and ulterior motives. They're intentionally deceivers. They're just false teachers for their own gain. Scripture warns about that. Paul warned Timothy and Titus both about this. He said there's going to be people that's going to say things and the only reason they do it is just for their own appetite. They're just plain false teachers. All they want to do is make money on them. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people today who are good scam artists and they do it in the name of religion. And they'll say about anything as long as they get the money for it. And we need to understand that this is wrong. And if we build our life on anything other than the standard of Jesus Christ, upon the rock of Jesus, then our lives are not going to be pleasing to God. There are some people who hear the Word and they're just stubborn. They're just not going to obey it. It may be for a lot of different reasons. Maybe they just don't want to know the truth. I've told you before about a man who told me one time when I asked him about discussing a particular Bible subject. He said, yeah, I'll be glad to talk to you about it, but I'm not going to change my mind. I've already got my mind made up. Well, I mean, that kind of an attitude is not pleasing to God. It's not that I've got something greater than you, and it's not that they need to listen to me, but we need to look at what God's Word says. We need to study what the Bible says, and if it is the truth, what I believe already, then that's fine. I've reaffirmed what I believe. But it may be that I find that what I have been taught and what I have believed is not the truth. But it is God's Word that is the standard. It is not me. It is not my understanding. It's not the church. It is God's Word that is the standard. There are some that just don't want to change. I've known people that they say, yeah, I understand that and I believe it. I'm not going to change them. I like it the way things are. I'm just not going to change the way I do things. I'm not going to change the way I believe. Even though they know it's not true. Sometimes people say, well, you know, that's what my family's always believed. My daddy believed that, and my granddaddy believed that, or my mama believed that, and my grandmama believed that, and this is what they did, and that's what they practiced, and I'm not going to change. I'm going to just do what they did. Well, no matter how much we love our mother and our grandmother, they're not the standard. God's Word is. Sometimes people say, well, you know, it's just the tradition of this church, and we know we've always done this, and this is the way we do it, and so I'm going to keep doing it that way. That's the way I believe it. And again, it's the church is not the standard. Church is people. We're just people made up of people who sometimes misunderstand, and we need to understand that, and we need to accept that. Jesus is the standard. His Word is the standard. There are those who just want to follow the crowd. They say, whatever the majority believes, I'll go along with that. I've had people tell me, say, well, you know, I just can't believe that what you're teaching is right because, you know, most people don't believe that. Well, that may be true. That doesn't make it right that I'm in the minority, but it doesn't make it wrong either. What makes it right and wrong is what God's Word says. Jesus is the rock, and His Word is the standard. He is the rock that provides refuge. He provides strength. He provides salvation. But He also can and will crush those who refuse to obey Him and those who reject His authority. In 1 Peter chapter 2, and verses 6 through 8, Peter continues there, having called Jesus the cornerstone. He says, "For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in Him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the Word, and to this doom they were also appointed." And so he says the very same rock that saves some is the rock that will destroy others. You see, we must stand in judgment before God. And we will give an account for whether or not we heard the Word of God and we obeyed the Word of God or we rejected it. In Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Jesus is the rock. This morning, are you building your house? Are you building your life on Jesus? If not, then I would urge you today to hear His Word, to obey Him. Come to Jesus. Confess your faith in Him as the Son of God. Turn away from your sin. Be baptized into Christ. He's promised He'll forgive you. He's promised that He will send His Spirit to live in you. He's promised that if you'll be faithful, you'll have a home in heaven. And so this morning, if your subject is invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.